Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Mania.
Ring Combat, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ring Combat, report to the critical thinking hangar.
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. Shirt Underground Radio. Eddie, how are you?
Rejuvenated. Ready to swing for the fences with some Ranger hockey talk. Did my Civil War bit down in Virginia and Maryland, and now focused, ready to talk about the Boyle signing, the Dubinsky signing if it happens, and the preseason schedule's out. And what is that, Al Jolson in the back? And you got the Traverse City tournament, prospect tournament's going to be on MSG. Hockey's around the corner, please, give it to me.
Well, I'm glad you're back from your trip. I'm glad you had a good time. But I think the question that everybody wants to know is, what'd you bring me?
I got you a cannon that's also doubles as a pencil sharpener.
Sweet!
Yes.
Just broke my other one. Well, good evening, everyone. We're glad you're here. Lots to talk about. Phone lines are jammed already. Chat rooms jammed, fired up. Millions of you getting your hockey summer fix right here. That's where you get it, on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Thanks for the Falcon, my friends. They're not signing Paul Maric. Give it up.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, Frosty. I know we got love for Paul Maric, and apparently the Steve Eminger the affection is now growing for Steve Eminger at an increasing rate. Still not as big as the Paul Maric. But anyway, I am so glad that everyone has joined us, because in this hot, sweltering heat where the USA Today, the back of it, where they have the weather, it looks like the whole entire United States of America is ablaze. It's just one big red splotch.
Fire!
We're talking hockey. Ranger hockey, most importantly. A lot of things happened in the week that has passed, Jim. A lot has passed.
Yes, sir. I guess we'll start at the beginning or start at the end? Where do you want to start? You want to start with Dubinsky? You want to start with Boyle? You want to start with the good, the bad, the in-between, the ugly?
We'll start at the most recent stuff. That's what everybody's so passionate about.
The most recent stuff. All right, so you're talking about the preseason schedule, the Traverse City tournament being on MSG, or the Dubinsky debacle?
I think the Dubinsky possible debacle.
So, yeah, all right. We got so Jesse Spector put it out there last night that the Rangers and Dubinsky were far apart. in their negotiations, which was contrary to what they said the day, I think it was like the day before, or maybe it was Sunday, I don't know, Sunday or Monday. It sounded like, you know, it was just a matter of a day or two before the you know, the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. And then Spector came out last night, I think it was, and said that they were far apart. And then Larry Brooks came out today and said that Dubinsky's looking for between could be looking for between $5 and $5.25 million a year, which has every Ranger fan except DB Maven in a tizzy, except DB Maven.
Right. I saw his post, which I want to assassinate later, or I'll assassinate with him if he joins us in this program. The crux of his argument was that the money would buy out, I think, 2 to 3 years of his UFA eligibility, which would ensure him being a Ranger and not an unrestricted free agent. But my problem with that is, why do I want to ensure that a guy gets overpaid when he's a mediocre player, even in his UFA agency phase? Maybe I want the guy to become a UFA and prove that he is worth that money. And I'm going to tell you, as sure as I sit here eating yodels and drinking chocolate milk, that Brandon Dubinsky is not worth $5 million plus.
Not right now, he's not. And CCP...
And he never will be, I'll tell you that.
Well, if he stays in the league 10 years, in 10 years, $5 million will be a middling salary for hockey players. You can't just give him $5 million for the next 5 years and be done with it. Because if he scores 40 points or 50 points next year, you're going to be the first one saying, oh, Jesus Christ, we got this guy on a hook for 5 years for $25 million. What were we thinking? You can't just give him $25 million and hope for the best. I agree with Howie. Dubie thinks he's worth more than he is. This guy, how can you justify, what do they pay Gavrik? Gavrik's $7.5 million. Does Brandon Dubinsky deserve to be paid more than Mark Stahl? Mark Stahl is we talked about that. He's an elite, or on his way to becoming an elite player at his position. Brandon Dubinsky is a second line hockey player on the Rangers. On a lot of other teams, he's a third line player.
No.
Oh yeah. Am I wrong?
Well, you're right. You're dead on right. You're dead square. You've bullseyed the target. This now. However, as the Ranger fandom has gone ablaze with negative feelings about Dubie thinking he's worth that much money, I don't take it personal. I just don't think he deserves it. And, of course, in the DB Maven post, which was the only Ranger fan on our Facebook page, which I implore you to join, Blue Shirt Underground Radio Facebook group page, was the only one to defend Dubie, that perhaps Brandon Dubinsky, it's a business deal, came in with a high number, and, is going to negotiate lower. That's the normal business practice, so to speak. But after the shenanigans that Brandon pulled three years ago, by holding out, when he should have just, play along. And I have a feeling, and Mandor has said this, a couple other people, that you might be traded if you come in a little too high on Sather. Glenn Sather, Mr. McGoo, does not like when you come in with two guns a-blazing, so to speak. So. My thoughts on it is he's not a $5 million player. I don't think the what he's going to be argument really doesn't. I'm not seeing that much of a drastic improvement in the player where I can say he's going to be a 60, 70 point player. We've alluded to it on this show. He had 20-odd goals last year, led the league in empty net goals, which with five. to me. I'm not a math expert. I'm not Copernicus here, but that puts him around 16, 17 goals. But I'm not going to kill the guy personally, Jim. I'm just saying I hope the Rangers take the hard line on this.
Yeah, I just think he's being a little unrealistic. If that's now that's assuming, which is a dangerous assumption. That's assuming that Larry Brooks is telling
right.
the truth, which again, it's a dangerous assumption. We all know Larry's trying to sell hot papers, you know, in July when there's not much to talk about. We all know Larry gets a little carried away, dancing Larry Brooks, but we love him. But, you know, one of the other, I think it might have been Jesse Spector, said he also reported that Dubinsky, maybe it wasn't him, someone did. One of the beat reporters said that Dubinsky did turn down $4.5 million a year. So where does that, if $4.5 million, you turn that down, then what are you looking for? Chances are you're looking for maybe that puts Brooks a little more to be closer to being right. So come to Brandon. It's too much money for Brandon Dubinsky right now. I can't pay Brandon Dubinsky $5.25 million in the hopes that in 2 years he's a 75-point guy. Not when he still disappears for 2 weeks at a time. Not when he was still non-existent for how many games in that playoff series? Until he grew the mustache. The first two games of that series, he was nowhere. Everybody on this show, in this chat room, on Facebook, on Blue Shirt Banner, on Twitter, everywhere, Ranger fans were screaming, where's Brandon Dubinsky been for the first two games of this series?
Right.
Then he grew the mustache, scored the goal, and everybody loved him again.
Yeah. Plus, he's a guy that Tortorella has gone on record as saying he needs to show up more. He needs to be more consistent.
Even Sam Rosen said during the season last year, Brandon Dubinsky has to be more consistent, which is as close to criticism as you will ever hear out of an MSG employee.
Yes. anything over $4 million to me is just ludicrous. Or ludicrous.
You magnificent bastard.
Ludicrous.
He solved my Twitter problem.
You know, he's just, again, we like him because he's homegrown. We like him because he's young. I just don't see him a guy that's going to be a 30-goal scorer in this league. And it looked that way. Now, we look at, you know, over there in that hockey wasteland at the Coliseum, you got a guy, Michael Grabner, right? Michael Grabner, I know we're all going to say he's a one-year wonder, but there's a young kid who, what, would he have 31 goals, 30-odd goals last year?
Yeah.
What'd he get? I think he got like $3 million.
Three and a half, I think.
Three and a half.
And he's only going to score 12 goals next year because Mandar said so.
Right. That is true, so I shouldn't really go against Mandar. But there's a guy I could see being a goal scorer. That guy is going to – he's got a shot, let's put it that way, at being a tremendous skater on a team where the Rangers need scoring more than the grit, which really Dubinsky, when he is playing well, does provide. But for a guy that we heard from really good experts that he was a team guy, that he wanted to be a Ranger, and he painted the ice, he painted the logo with the shield at the center of the ice. Why is he playing hardball? Take your $4 million. You're certainly not getting more than Ryan Callahan. At this point, Ryan Callahan should get more than Dubinsky, or the same or more.
Right, favorite nation.
I don't think any of us Ranger fans would have a problem. And although Ryan Callahan has some of the problems that Brandon Dubinsky does at times with the streakiness, for Ryan Callahan's spirit and what he does, if he got $5 million, and I still think that's overpaying for him, it would be a little bit easier to digest than Brandon Dubinsky asking for $5 million. And I guarantee Callahan hasn't asked for $5 million. Now, I don't know that. I don't know if Ryan Callahan is a, but this is being perceived as a money grab by Dubinsky, and I'm not so sure I'm all about that right now.
And the only thing I'll disagree with you on Callahan, you say Callahan is only inconsistent in his scoring. Dubinsky
right.
You always see Callahan's effort. You always know he's on the ice. How many times you watch a game and Brandon Dubinsky's completely non-existent except when he takes a bad penalty? And I like Brandon Dubinsky. Don't get me wrong. This is not an anti-Brandon Dubinsky rant. He's just I can't fathom paying him $5.25 million. To me, that is elite. That is borderline elite player status. He is nowhere near elite in any phase of his game. He's just not. He's a nice hockey player. That's what he is.
He must, you know, I totally agree with you. I think you, once again, like William Tell, have hit the target. You split the apple above my head, Jim. With another bullseye. It is, that you speak the truth. Here, as we sit and talk Ranger hockey, underneath the critical thinking hangar.
That's right. An unlawful gathering, if ever there was one.
Right. So, I don't know how the people feel. I'm sure we'll hear about that from the phone callers and the people in the chat room. All seem to be predominantly with that, with Dubinsky. Except CCCP. He seems to be on Dubinsky's side. But, you know, and you were right to bring up the fact that probably Dancing Larry Brooks would not be that trustworthy sort to report that report. Does that rhyme? But the fact that Jesse Spector tweeted that he didn't go for 4.5, well, then I think it's more likely that didn't happen. So,
right.
So, that's what I got to say about that.
All right. So, backtracking a little bit, we also had Brian Boyle signed, I think the day after our last show. Brian signed for, what was it, 1.85 a year? Is that what he got? 3 years?
Right. This was another overreaction by some Ranger fans about the length of the deal. I have no problem with the length at that kind of money. I think what the last 2 years buys out his 2 years of being a UFA. I think Brian Boyle will not, you know, be the goal. I don't know. I mean, you know, he could get 20. He's another guy. Had a great first half, second half, not so hot. But he kills penalties. He's a player that I think, you know, the money is trivial to some of the. I mean, you know, why are we sweating $1.85 million? I don't understand. The length of the contract? Well, then just trade him if he stinks. Somebody will take him. It's not like he couldn't be traded. I like Brian Boyle. You know, I've been critical of him in the past in certain areas. If he was really dominant on faceoffs, he would be worth every penny, maybe worth more.
Excuse me.
I had no problem with that signing. There's no criticism of that. I don't know. People seem to get caught up in terms and. And, you know, I hate to say it, but Magoo has been so prudent with the money. I hope he doesn't give Dubinsky the money, because that would say Brandon Dubinsky. That whole league was like, he ain't worth $5.5 million. Give it a break. So, I don't know.
I'm fine with the Boyle deal. I think that money's right in line. I think that's about what we had speculated, somewhere in the $1.5, $1.75 million range. 3 years, big deal. So what?
So what? Exactly.
I mean, that's it's about right, I think.
No, it's and Mess and Gretsch just said in the chat room, I don't care. It's not my money. People like, you know, I still think even the Brad Riches deal was a prudent move. No, people didn't like the extent of the deal, but guy hasn't done anything wacky yet, so I can't criticize him. So they locked Boyle up, they locked Nissim off, and they locked up Nissim off, and Sauer came quietly, and Boyle came quietly. Now Galli and Doobie, well, at least Doobie is giving us
Doobie. And Doobie's coming in with the Rose Parade.
Yeah.
And Mess, it is your money, essentially. I mean, whether you pay for tickets or you pay for center ice or you buy a jersey, that money trickles down. In a way, it's your money. Somehow,
no,
some way.
He lives in Tennessee. He listens to this show. That's all he's got.
No. Well, then give us your money. www.blueshirtunderground.com.
How are you?
And if you're on Twitter, I am live tweeting during the show. I'm still at Blue Shirt Banter. I expect that will be changed by next week. I've told Fortunato it's time to make the switch. So hopefully make the change over in the next couple of days. I just got to come up with a new name. So
the MSG telecasts are going to start again. I don't know. You want to get to the prospect broadcast or the preseason thing? Which one you want to do, buddy boy?
Yeah, go with the preseason stuff, the prospects, the whole bit.
The whole bit? Well, I got to tell you, I am excited. Finally, Madison Square Garden television and genre's asshole. I'm sure you'll ruin it with your propaganda that every Ranger prospect is ready for the NHL. I know you will somehow ruin this entire good news and progressive thinking because maybe you ran out of 1994 videos or Ken Danico specials, how he's the number one defenseman in the New York metropolitan area. Whatever you're doing over there at MSG, you finally did something right because, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the blah, 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 the Traverse Prospect Tournament, Traverse, which is held in Traverse City, Michigan, will be televised on on MSG, also known as, what was that? That news source that Russia used to have.
Pravda?
Pravda.
Pravda? Al Jazeera.
Al Range Jazeera. Al Range Jazeera and...
Al Troutwick Jira.
Al Troutwick Jira. It'll be on there. Looking forward to it. September hockey, the 10th. Rangers versus St. Louis. Now, I'm not sure, Jim. I don't know if Grachev will be eligible for this, but I would love to see Grachev destroy the Rangers in this. I'm looking for my Grachev reparations.
Oh, boy, you spend a few days in the South and now you want reparations, huh?
Yep. I'm all for it now.
Yeah, see, I could just see the Rangers play in St. Louis in the prospect tournament. Grachev scores like 4 goals in 1 game for St. Louis, and you're just sitting there with the phone in your hand calling Paulie. Dush, dush, dush. I told you, Paulie. And then you'd call Riccio. I told you he wasn't a bust. Who's Grachev now, bitch? And then you'd hang up.
Well, you know what'll happen if he does play and scores? We'll be like, we give this guy away for who? So, you know, every other Ranger fan will be panicking if they're in the know, which everybody here and listens to the broadcast is in the know. Then on Sunday, September 11th, Rangers will be playing Dallas Mavericks. I mean, the Dallas Stars. At 6 o'clock then Tuesday in the afternoon versus the Hurricanes. Here I am. That'll be an afternoon game, and then I think they have a final or something. Like draw sticks. I don't know how they decide who wins the thing, but we'll get to see probably, I'm guessing, the Christian Thomas, the Carl Hagelins, the Dylan McElrath. And other guys. And it should be very interesting. I'm looking forward to it. It's a must-see TV, as they used to say. Was that NBC?
Yeah. Must-see Thursday.
It's a must-see Thursday. So I'm looking forward. So that's a weekend. I won't have to be, the Mets will be out of it by September, right?
Mets are out of it now.
Oh, okay. I mean, all right.
Only the Mets don't know it.
And I will be imbibing some hockey. And then and also, like you mentioned, the preseason schedules come out. Maybe you can go over that.
That's actually, if I'm not mistaken, that's the opening weekend for the NFL. September 11th is the, I know the Giants are in Washington that day, which I was kind of disappointed at, but I guess, I guess if they got to be somewhere, they could be in Washington.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Redskin fans down south there. I was like, oh, boy. The miracle of DVR, you can watch both. I'm not sure that people are going to be all over you going, guess who won the Traverse City tournament game between the Rangers and St. Louis tonight?
Yeah.
Somebody may come up to you and go, Jim, I can't believe Grachev had a double hat trick. It was crazy.
A Grotrick.
He had a Grotrick. Any guy somewhere is throwing a party, is you know, messed his pants. But you know what, though? I stopped rooting for Grachev once he steps out of the organization, though. You got to wear these colors for me to root for you. I ain't no traitor. I ain't no Benedict Arnold. All right. So you get to see your Christian Thomases and your... and your Kelsey Tessiers and your Ryan Borks, alias the Lollipop Guild.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, and in the name of the Lollipop Guild, we wish to welcome you so much, Tim. We represent.
All right, enough of that. So
yes.
What's going on?
The Coyotes of tomorrow will be in.
Yeah,
the Rangers.
The Coyotes of tomorrow.
The Coyotes of tomorrow. They will join the annals of such Ranger alumnus as Ethan Werrick, Lori Korpikoski, who got a new contract yesterday, by the way. Nigel Dawes.
What did he get?
He got 3 years. Did I bookmark the story? Hold on. Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. Oh, he got 2 years. Coyotes re-signed Lori Korpikoski to a 2-year contract, avoiding arbitration hearing that was set for later Wednesday. Financial terms of the deal were not released. We are very pleased to sign Lori to a 2-year contract, said Coyotes general manager Don Maloney. Lori is an excellent skater, a versatile forward, and an important player on our team. We are happy to avoid arbitration and finalize a contract. Korpikoski set career-high goal in games. 79 goals, 19 assists, 21 points, 40.
Mm.
And game-winning goals with Phoenix last season. So we had 19 goals, 21 assists. So we had, what, two less goals than Brandon Dubinsky? Wow.
Yeah, really.
Brandon Dustinsky?
Brandon do nothing.
Gotta love them. 646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. Give us your thoughts, your take. And what else do we have? The preseason. Did you talk preseason or did we just talk prospects?
No, no. I was going to leave the preseason to you because there's a lot of fancy European names in there and I can't do it.
Oh, so you're going to leave them to me. All right. So we got the preseason schedule has been announced. You know, the Rangers are going to Prague, Gothenburg, Sweden, Bratislava, Slovakia, Zug, Switzerland, but I don't think they're going any place worse than Albany and Newark. I think I'd rather go to Prague than go to Albany and Newark. Why they are playing back-to-back games against the Devils, one in Albany and one in Newark. Why?
It's a bunch of garbage.
Thank you, Paulie, and thanks for the Falcon. I mean, so, yeah, they start off the preseason, two games against the Devils, one in Albany, one in Newark. Then they go down to Philly and play the Flyers. Then they're going to go to Prague in the Czech Republic, formerly known as Czechoslovakia, for those of us that grew up with the Cold War.
Thanks for the Falcon.
Exactly. HC Sparta Prague on September 29th. And then on September 30th, they're going to play the Frölunda Indians, which to me is just a very strange name for a team. For one, it's a strange name for a hockey team. And two, do you equivocate anything in Sweden with Indians? The Frölunda Indians. It would be like the Miami Eskimos.
Exactly.
Or the Alaska Sharks. I don't know.
Well, how about this? How about the Fort Worth Samurais? I mean, it really has nothing to do with the culture. I mean, I don't get it.
The Frölunda Indians. Anyway, they will take on the Frölunda Indians in Gothenburg, Sweden. Now, let me see if I can pull up my calendar really quick, and then I'll tell you why that game may be very important.
Ranger 235, who is also the incredible Zach Budnick, and I welcome him back to the chat room, has said that it's Hank's old team.
Yes, that's
that
true.
Hank's old teams.
Still a weird name for a team.
Now,
that September 30th game against Gothenburg, against Frölunda in Gothenburg. That is Friday.
Isn't that part of the Johnny Cash, My Name is Sue song? It was Gothenburg in mid-July, my mouth was dry. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought he was, it could be.
My name is Sue, how do you do? Now you're going to die.
Depending on what time that September 30th game is, and that's a Friday, which I know isn't easy, but we may have to figure something out because we're going to have a man on the scene at that game. So we may have to put together a little something, a little special blue shirt Swedish underground radio broadcast, even if it's an hour in the middle of the day or something. We're going to have a man on the scene. He has his tickets.
Now, wait a minute. So we're going to have, what you're telling me is we're going to have somebody who's actually going to be there to witness this.
Yes, one of our most loyal listeners is going to the game.
Wow. By the way, that was my Carl Lewis. Stolfo North said, is that Carl Lewis singing? Yes, that was my Carl Lewis singing voice. That's great. I didn't know Carl Lewis sang. So that's cool. That'll be good. That'll be big time. That'll be like, wow, we're universal. We're global. We're going global.
Yep. Yeah, we just got to figure out how to do it. But the great Chris Smith from over in England, he's a frequent traveler to Sweden, specifically Gothenburg, and he's a Henrik Lundqvist nut, and he's already gotten his tickets for that game, and he'll be there. So maybe we'll try and figure out something to do for, I don't know how far ahead time-wise Sweden is. I would guess they're probably about 6 hours ahead of the East Coast, which would put them 9 hours ahead of me, assuming that the game is at 7, 8 o'clock at night. It might be 11 o'clock in the morning when we're doing it, for me anyway. So we'll have to see. We'll figure it out. We got time. That's 2 months away still. So. So,
I was just going to question why they got to play the Devils twice in Albany. I guess for the River Rat fans.
Well, my guess is travel. Since they're going to Czech Republic and Sweden and Slovakia, Switzerland, they're trying to keep the rest of the preseason games close to home. Can't play at the Garden. Don't want to subject more their fans to the Coliseum any more than they have to. So. Probably safer to go play in Albany.
probably safer to play in a gymnasium in Albany than it is to make them go to Hempstead.
You know what? Maybe I'll contact Ulf Nielsen and see if he'll go to the game. I mean, he could be our man on the spot, the man with a plan.
Ulf and Chris reporting live from Gothenburg.
I think I'm going to talk to Ulf about that.
Oh,
I have to pick up this name right here. To pick something off the floor. Oh, that's Ulf Nielsen's name. Landar's getting on today. I'm friends with Ulf Nielsen on the internet. I'm not friends with him. I met with him several times.
We have an Ulf Nielsen. You have a connection. You've interviewed him. You've met him. Spoken to him.
So. God, I'm not supposed to feel important once in a while by dropping a guy who played for the Rangers for 4 years' name. God. But anywho, so there you have the preseason schedule. And
There's a couple more. After Frolunga.
When does it start, the date?
The first date of preseason is September 21st.
Okay.
They're going to play at the Times Union Center in Albany. Anyway. And then after Sweden, then they will play HC Slovan in Bratislava, Slovakia. And then on October 3rd, they're going to play EV Zug in Zug, Switzerland. It's quite the
Zug.
It's quite the joint. The jaunt our Rangers will be undertaking come September and into the early October.
Do you think this will take a toll on the team, this travel, and we will not be treated to the good start that we've been treated to the last couple of years?
We've become spoiled? Well, you know, there's two ways to look at it. You know, in one way, it's a bonding, and that's, of course, the company line. That's what they're all going to tell you. It's a bonding experience. But four games in a span of 4 days, 5 days, traversing around Europe. It's got to take something out of you. Oh, here's the Gothenburg game is 1:00 in the afternoon on Friday, September 30th, East Coast time. That's at 1:00 East Coast. So that would be 10:00 in the morning, my time. So if we were going to do something with Chris, you'd have figured it'd be an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours before the game started, which means I'd be getting up at about 7:30 in the morning. I could just go to work late. I wouldn't even need to take the day off. I'm going to be in at 10:00 that day. I got a great simple radio program.
You could do a simple radio program before you actually go to work.
Oh, brother.
Then we could say, then you could hear, good morning, Gothenburg. So
I don't know if the underground wakes up that early. We're kind of late night people here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody burns the midnight oil, except for Frosty.
I don't know about
after Hell's Kitchen, Frosty goes to sleep.
Yeah, Frosty's 9:30. Up at like 3 a.m.
He is?
I think he's up at 4 or 4:30.
Oh.
So, all right. So let's see. We got Mandar is holding. I don't know if he's listening or if he wants to come on, but we could bring him on in a little while. Do you want to talk about this Derek Bogaerts thing that I've been dropping?
You've been saying something, and I am not privy to this. I was away, like I said, doing the Civil War thing, and so I did not hear. There seems to be some kind of controversy surrounding Derek Bogaerts. I would assume that it probably revolves around this. Does it revolve around this fund or this memorial or something? That's the only thing I could guess. I mean, the guy's dead. I mean, how much?
In a manner of speaking, well, we didn't get. I don't think we got a chance to talk about it last week. But the Rangers decided to honor Derek Bogaerts' legacy. The team would present. They're going to present two scholarships annually to. For the Rangers summer youth hockey camp to children from Defending the Blue Line, a charity created by Bogaerts, which helps military families. mean, that was Bugard's. That was what he did. He worked with military families. He had Bugard's Bugardians, and he worked with defending the blue line. That was his. I don't know what the word is. That was his cause. There you go. That was what I was looking for. That was his cause. So the Rangers decided to do this. Very classy move. Well received by everyone. Except Pat Hickey. Not former New York Ranger Pat Hickey. But Pat Hickey, the writer who covers hockey for the Montreal Gazette. He is a hockey writer, columnist for the Montreal Gazette. Now,
those damn Canadians.
After the Rangers tweeted their announcement, immediately following the announcement, Pat Hickey tweeted, "Sorry, but I don't get it. What legacy?" Now, excuse me. Let me read this word for word. The Rangers tweeted the following announcement, where this is word for word. "To honor former New York Ranger Derek Bugard's legacy, the team is presenting two scholarships annually to Rangers Summer Youth Hockey Camp to children from Defending the Blue Line, a charity created by Bugard." Immediately following that announcement, Pat Hickey from the Montreal Gazette responded with the following tweet, which he sent directly to the New York Rangers. "Sorry, but I don't get it. What legacy? If he doesn't die, he's a drug-abusing goon, not a role model." Now, first of all, now Brian Reynolds, who is a Minnesota Wild fan, works with Defending the Blue Line and runs HockeyWilderness.com, the SB Nation site for the Minnesota Wild, was absolutely, I am telling you, he was inconsolable at the loss of Derek Bugard. You guys, I think you all saw how much he meant to Minnesota and fans of the Wild after he died. They were absolutely devastated. Ranger fans, as I have said before, and I stand by it, and it's the truth. Eddie, I don't think you disagree with me. Derek Bugard has fared much better with Ranger fans in death than he did in life. That's human nature.
That's just the way it is.
It's the way it is. Well, many people do. Many
and
people
you better
benefit.
Agree. You better agree with us.
No, it's not true at all. So there's this controversy that Pat Hickey has generated by you know going after the Rangers and saying that because of you know Bugard was abused drugs and he was not a role model. And as Brian Reynolds wrote a great story that I'm going to post the link to in the chat room. You guys can take a look at it about what Hickey said. And it's not Pat Hickey, the former Ranger. This is Pat Hickey, a writer for the Montreal Gazette. Although when Pat Hickey was talking to Eddie on the phone about coming on the show, Pat Hickey did say, "I can't come on the show because I'm kind of busy right now, but I don't want you to think I'm a dick."
That was the best. I was like,
this
no,
other,
man,
this
fun,
other
man.
Pat Hickey is a dick.
Yeah, the other guy is a dick. The guy who writes for this, Montreal paper?
Yeah, the Montreal Gazette.
Well, there goes. Another French guy. Another dick.
So... you know, basically what this guy did was, you know, poor taste. I get what he's saying because he's basically, in a really stupid kind of classless way, what he's saying isn't far off from what I just said. It really isn't. He's fared much better in death with Ranger fans than he did in life. But he's picking a really shitty way to say it. And he's saying immediately responding to the Rangers trying to do something, trying to make something good out of a really bad, bad, tragic situation. That's not the time to pile on.
The older man, the experienced man that I am, Jim. You know, when I start off by calling you Jim, you know this is just horse shit that's going to come out of my mouth. But then when I say I'm an experienced man, but this is what I really mean. Yes, I can see his point to a degree about why should we memorialize a guy that had a drug problem, that was a guy who basically ended his life because he chose drugs. But now, the thing is that, first of all, you know, I don't want to get into whether it's a disease or, you know, it certainly is a disease, but not in the traditional sense. I think we all know that. But the cause is so great, and it's such a good thing, a positive thing that could come out of all this. To sit there and bash it, it's just stupid.
Right.
And Derek was dedicated to this charity. No matter what he did off the ice, this is a positive legacy that he can continue via the Rangers' money. And I see nothing wrong with it. I mean, I understand, and in the limited amount of games that Derek played for the Rangers, maybe, I don't know, did that come into play, like he was barely a Ranger, or I don't know if he... But
I actually,
go ahead.
Well, I forgot that there's actually another part to this story, because Brian Reynolds, the guy who wrote the article that I pasted in the chat room, actually sent Hickey an email and got a response. And first of all, let me tell you that for a journalist, this guy has no clue how to spell. This guy's a professional journalist writing for what I guess is a professional newspaper, the Montreal Gazette. And he has no idea how to spell. But that's besides the point. So Brian sent Hickey an email and, you know, explained Derek's legacy. Said he was very courteous, and as he put it, I was far more polite than Mr. Hickey deserved, and here's his response. Brian, I appreciate your comments, but as I said in my tweet, I don't get it. I'm sure that Derek, as is the case with many athletes, was involved in charitable causes, and that's a virtue in itself in a country which doesn't seem to care about its people. Here's the best. I like this part. I know more about addiction than most people, and I have respect for those deal with it. His words, not mine. This is his grammar. Compassion for those who don't have the resources and support to deal with it, and little sympathy for people who have the money, support and resources to deal with it, to deal with and don't. It seems to me that Derek Bougard falls into that last category. So he's completely ignoring the fact that it was reported by Larry Brooks, which Brooks got slammed for, that Bougard was taking part in the substance abuse program. Right? Am I wrong? Am I forgetting? Am I misremembering, as Roger Clemens would say? Derek Bougard was participating in the substance abuse program. So he had sought help. So he's wrong. As for being a goon, nobody can defend calling him a hockey player. He was a fighter who couldn't stand on skates. Whatever. That's the debate here is not whether or not he's a hockey player or not. The debate is this guy picked the worst absolute time to trash what the Rangers were doing, which was trying to do something good in light of a tragic situation.
It seems like this bozo, he's taking shots at the country, he's taking shots at Bougard. He sounds like a very unhappy person. I don't get it. What is the Rangers taking care of have to do with the fact that the United States doesn't have a social health care plan, all-inclusive, whatever. I mean, it's all problems. It ain't freaking Hannity. This guy should be fired, Jim. This guy should be fired. He insulted everybody. And he sounds like a know-it-all and just... Now, you know, I just think... Just what a disgusting man. You can't even call him a man. I mean, I struggle with glorifying people that, you know, are not model citizens and have gone down the wrong path. But Derek was certainly trying to get better. It's a struggle. I mean, we all got our things, our demons that we battle with. I don't care who you are.
and to really talk ill of the dead, I mean, it's just stupid at this point. And throw everybody in there as well, not just Derek. What a dumbass, that's all I can say. That's just as eloquently as I could put that.
Sounds like another one of these bitter old men in the media trying to maintain some relevance by saying something controversial. He should be fired. He's an idiot. And again, it is not the Pat Hickey that played for the Rangers in the 70s. This is not the Pat Hickey they traded for Barry Beck.
Right. Pat Hickey is too busy to make comments like this.
And
but he wants to let all Ranger fans know he would come on the show, but he's too busy. Not the writer, the ex-player, but he's just too busy, and he wants to let you know that he's not a dick.
Oh, I just posted his Twitter feed, but City Hockey Fever beat me to it. Yeah, if you want to go look, you can see his actual Twitter feed with his tweets. So there you have it. But, I just thought it was worth talking about.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
All right. Where are we at here? What time is it? It is 9:00. Oh, we got 40 minutes left in the show. I guess we better get to some phone calls.
Yeah, let's see what you got to say.
Quick, before we get to the phone calls, Ranger fans, the new season is fast approaching. Now is the time to finally get that home theater set up you've always dreamed of. Call the experts at Home Theater Solutions for all your home theater needs, specializing in custom installations such as TV mounting, remotely locating your equipment, getting your home programmed to that universal remote, and, of course, setting up that 5.1 sound system that'll make it sound just like you're at Madison Square Garden. From your living room to your man or your woman cave, their installers will help you design the perfect system to fit your needs. Call 848-448-2017 to make an appointment for your free walkthrough today. And thanks to my bitching about it, mention that you heard the ad on Blue Shirt Underground Radio and get 10% off. That's 848-448-2017, Home Theater Solutions, baby. All right, to the phones we go. 631-374, you're on the Underground with Jim and Eddie. Who's this?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, yes?
It's Eva, how are you?
Eva.
Hey, Eva, how are you?
How are you?
In touch with you.
We're listening to the show. We're driving around. How are you?
Big parties this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, what party?
Aren't you doing a pizza thing?
Oh, yeah, that.
Wow, this is a hell of a promo.
Pat Hickey is a mutt, and he should be barred from these United States of America. Stay in Canada. Don't ever come down here.
Charlie Wang, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you sure that's his real name, Pat Hickey?
Yes, that
it
is his real
be.
Name. Nope,
that's
that is
terrible.
His real name. I know, he's besmirching the good name of Pat Hickey and
absolutely.
Greg Hickey.
So how are you guys?
I'm doing good. Just came back from Maryland and Virginia. Now, you didn't sound too excited, Eva. I mean, is this thing a go project for Saturday or what?
It's good. There's only like 9 people coming.
All right. Let me tell you something. Now I'm going to have to just lay down the line. Listen, you buffoons. What else are you doing on Saturday that you can't come down to Brooklyn
and
eat some spumoni and have some slices of pizza with the mouth? Maybe high C? I don't know. Me and high C would talk before I left about going. I don't know how he's going to react, but you come down there, you meet me, we'll wear a Ranger garb, we'll talk Ranger hockey. Who the hell's in, goddammit? Now, where is this place, Eva, anyway? It's in Brooklyn, right?
It's in Bensonhurst. How you doing, all right?
Bensonhurst, the home of Ralph and Alice Cramden, for God's sakes. It's right up next to the Hong Kong Gardens.
86th Street.
And the Three Stooges.
Just down the corner from the pool hall where Harvey was.
Yeah.
Come on out,
Harvey. What time is this shindig start?
Ha, 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 Ernie, ha, ha.
1 o'clock. Yeah.
So I really think you all should go to this event. This will be Ranger fans. Are you guys going to wear your Ranger shirts and stuff? I know it's going to be hot, but
I'm Bobby's wearing a tank top. Woo!
Hey now.
Wow.
Hey now.
Really?
Just the tank top.
Hey now.
Hey now.
Hey now.
I heard the crazy Greek is buying.
Oh, yeah. He said me and him are going to split a pie and some spumoni. We may share a spumoni.
Now, that might be a sight for sure.
Goodbye. Get out of here, you bum.
Mr. and Mrs. Newman will not be able to attend.
What are they? They've got nothing to do.
It's an important graduation party that they have to attend.
Yeah.
Is he working at Burger King still?
I don't know. I don't think so.
What?
I'm taking the fifth on
that. I'm Burger King real quick. I thought the graduation was that John graduated from fry chef, fry manager to regular manager.
No. I'm exercising my constitutional right. I'm taking the fifth.
I was kind of wondering because, you know, one minute on Facebook, every day it's, I got the job, I'm on my second interview, I got the job, I start work, everything was Burger King this, Whopper this, Fish this, BK Broiler this, and then all of a sudden there was no more Burger King updates on Facebook. And I'm like, oh, I bet he walked out his first day.
I don't know.
I work at Burger King making flavor whoppers. I wear paper hats. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Ding, pies are done. Ding, pies are done. Ding, pies are done. Ding, pies are done. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run. Don't buffer fries in hot fat. It really hurt bad and so the skin grabs.
That's it?
No, there's more, but it goes on forever.
Oh, man, what a good job.
You guys drunk? Where are you?
No. Come on, cut it out.
We just pulled into our driveway.
Okay. Well, so everybody show up. What's the name of this jerk again, this joint again?
L&B Spumoni Gardens.
L&B Spumoni Gardens, Bensonhurst. Brooklyn. Be there. What the hell?
Brooklyn Square.
No, be there.
I don't know what the fuck you people do. I don't know what the fuck you people do.
Sound effect.
That is not me.
And I said it's right next to right next to Marvin Gardens.
One of the yellow props.
All right, you crazy kid.
Right, thank you for checking in with us, kids.
We'll see you Saturday.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, take care.
All right, so long. Bye-bye.
So they will, Eva's going to wear a tank top and nothing else. So Ranger fans, get out there. Bring the cameras. Bring the video cameras. Let's Ranger fans unite. I'll be there. Because really, pizza and spumoni. I got to check it out.
I know you don't care, but I found a fantastic pizza place right here the other day. Went to this place over the weekend. Fantastic pizza. New York style. Great place.
What do you mean I don't care? I love it.
Well, I know you don't want to. Nobody cares about when I talk about Phoenix.
It's pizza. People care. You never know when you need a good slice. That's
great, great pizza. Venezia's.
Venezia's, it's called?
Yeah, about four or five of them here in the on East Valley. So I'm looking forward to going back there maybe over the weekend again. All right.
I want to just interrupt here.
Oh, God.
Listen, you chuckleheads. Jim has been polite. Jim has been cordial. We have talked about some passionate issues so far tonight on this show, and I see a paltry amount of phone calls on this switchboard. Chuckleheads, awake from your tombs And give us a call at 646-478-4692. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your opinions, your vociferous, your boisterous voices on the other end of our studio headphones. So call in.
Sports Talk telephone number.
That's right. So,
and I want to say hello to, let's see, I want to say hello to Steven ND3. I'm not sure who that is. I don't know if he's in the chat room. And I'm hoping I'm going to say this right. Stasha Kousalis. I'm going to try and hopefully I'm close. She is following. She's not in the chat room, but she is listening and tweeting to me that she's enjoying the show. I think she's afraid to jump in the chat room, and I don't blame her.
Yeah. And all the people who are joining us on podcast later, I salute you. I see a couple, I see New York fan in New Jersey, I think is new in the chat room. And I don't want to do a whole roll call because we only have a half hour left. The last one took like 42 minutes. But I've seen some people in here that I'm glad you guys have joined us. Now, go on, my friend, my compatriot, my radio twin. Go ahead.
Back to the phones we go. 631-484. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Caller number two, introduce yourself to the public. Caller number two, introduce yourself to the public. Man, I done muted the call.
Guess not.
Guess he's not there.
Goodbye. Get out of here, you bum.
All right. I guess we're ready to go to... Oh, shit. I just lost the switchboard. Hold on.
I still have it.
Go ahead. If you want to bring Mandar on, go ahead, because I temporarily switchboard. I closed out of it, actually.
Was he 704?
Yes, sir.
The great Mandar, as I used to say on the old show. Hello, sir.
How many other 704 numbers do you know?
When it comes to numbers, it's just... My head just goes crazy. I don't know if that's an area code. I don't know if that's my weight. I don't know if that's how much Brandon Binsky wants in thousands per game. I don't
know. Speaking of that, you posted a couple of pictures from your trip. You're looking good, my friend. You've slimmed down. I can tell.
Now, you're just hosing me. I'll get paranoid about this because I have lost a little. But
I know. I could definitely tell you have slimmed.
In my face.
Well, that was all that was in the picture. So that was all. I mean, that was the extent of it. You know, was it like?
There's some more pictures that have.
Was it like you put a cheesecake shot up there of you in your underwear or something?
Well, like, no, I'm saying.
I looked at your face and I said, it looks like I can definitely tell you've slimmed down.
There's full body shots up there. I'm standing on a bridge.
I haven't seen those yet. I'll look.
That's the gut. It seems that I'm evaporating from the fat head down, and I can't wait till it hits my breast because really I'm like a double D cup still.
Can I tell you something really? I'll keep it quick, but it's funny. At least I thought it was. So, I've been on this diet, right? I'm doing very well. I've lost like 30 pounds, but anyway, it's been. You know, it gets in the summertime here. It's too hot to, like, go out and, you know, go for a walk, or I like to get on my rollerblades. It's too hot to do anything. I got my wife the Wii for Christmas. So the other night, I'm like, let me hook this thing up and see if I can exercise, do something with it, right? She's got the Wii Fit, it's called, right? So there's a balance board that comes with it, okay? So I turn it on, and it says, I put my character in there, and it says, oh, this is your first time using this, so we'll have to do your BMI index first. You know, I don't like the way that sounds because I know I'm going to fail it, right? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right? Now this on this particular day, I had gotten on the scale in the morning, and I liked what I saw. So I was feeling pretty good about myself, right? So I stand up on this thing, and all these things start happening. It's doing, give me all these numbers and measuring, and it's giving me this number and that number, and it's telling me to lift my leg and balance and fix it. And then, And then it comes up, your BMI index. I don't even remember the number at this point. But then it says, after, and I put in my height and it said, and everything, and my age, and it says, based on your BMI index and your age and your height, I am judging you to be, and it comes up in big letters, obese. And I
start, oh, the humanity.
I'm standing on this thing, right? And I'm screaming at the TV. My wife's sitting there hysterical. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Oh, the humanity.
I'm like, all right, I'm fat, maybe, a little chubby. Like, I'm not obese. She's like, you know, you're yelling at a video game, right? I'm like, I don't care. Anyway.
Yeah. That's
erroneous. Erroneous. Erroneous on both counts.
So then I went and ate a box of cupcakes, made myself feel better.
Well, you know, it's going to be, listen, when they did my BMI at the gym, I was like, how can I be 50% fat?
That means that I'm like, I'm just a fat glob. If your BMI is 50, you are super obese, and it's come down dramatically. But when I saw that, I was like, this has got to be a mission here. Because really, it's just at my age, whatever. I don't want this to turn into the Susan Powder Hour where we all got to lose weight, but still funny. It's funny
and
stuff.
Actually,
and
I see here a picture of you standing in front of what looks to be like an old schoolhouse, and I could definitely tell in this picture that you have lost weight. You look fantastic, my friend.
As I feel fantastic, and I don't care about. You know, I just, my message is love for food.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. And you know, I'm just trying not to be a sloth coming up. And the Rangers are my my first love, and, well, until I got married. Well, I guess they were my first love. So anyway, I digress. Mando, what the hell? How are you, man?
Oh, Mandar's here. I forgot.
I got to see these pictures because I think one of the other guys that were on that trip with you actually tips the scales higher than you.
I don't know that for sure, but I can tell you this much. He has absolutely no endurance. I mean, zero. Like, I could get out and walk. That's because I've started the gym, but our other friend cannot move.
You mean the former New York City cop has no endurance?
No, unfortunately, he's got some problems. Mentally and physically, let's put it that way. I did quote you often during the trip with, this is not the South. That's what you told me last week on the show, that Maryland, Virginia were really not part of the South. So every time I had the chance to utter that. But anyway, man, let me get your let's get back to Ranger talk. Let's get back to maybe I'll do a little Ranger rapid fire round, which you used to do on the old show. Dubinsky, give it to me.
Well, obviously not worth five, worth around four to the Rangers. It's certainly, again, I've beaten this drum now ever since the season ended. You're going into your contract year. You think that you'd put up some numbers there so you can earn your next contract. He scored 23 goals. He scored 17 against an actual goalie. He scored 11 in the first 5 weeks of the season, which means the rest of the season he got 6 goals. This is a guy playing for his first big payday. That's what we get. Anybody who says, oh, but he led the team in scoring, that's like being the best violin player on the Titanic. Means nothing. You got 50 points. You got 23 goals. Mm. You scored most of them in the first part of the season. Anybody, and beyond all the numbers and the statistics, your common sense, when you watch the players on the ice, of who is worth what, that's what it is. Now, I'm assuming that he's either getting bad advice from his agent to start in the stratosphere in hopes of getting some sort of a good negotiation, or he's hoping for an arbitrator to, you know, split the difference right down the middle so he can get another big payday next year. If I were the Rangers, I'd let him go to arbitration, get a one-year deal, and if you, you know, light the house on fire, or if you, you know, magically get this much better with Brad Richards on the first line, which there seems to be some opinion that may happen, fine. Then you've earned your payday, and you cash in the following year. But $5 to $5.25 million, I don't care what the marketplace says. That's a Wade Redden contract.
Right. I agree. And, of course, CCCP is still going at you with a very ridiculous. Well, Gavrik scored all of his goals against the Islanders, so what? Yeah, but you know what? The year before, Marian Gavrik got 42 goals, playing on the line with Vinny Prospo and
again, you know, you try to make some sort of an argument to compare Gavrik to Dubinsky. It's just silly, and it's not even worth fighting against. And much like the, well, what's the difference between $4 and $5 million? It's a million. You know what? It's a million that could go. It's a million that could go to
right.
someplace else. Or are you, then I would guess that if you're saying it's not their money, who cares what they pay? Then you're saying that the Wade Redden and Chris Drury contracts were okay because not your money, right? They all it took was to get the player here. So who cares about the money? And I would
right.
agree with that, by the way, if it wasn't a cap league. Money, yeah, it's not my money, but the money matters when that's the key factor in building a team. And if there's $1 million difference, there's $1 million difference. You know, you're not just paying him an arbitrary amount. You're also, every time somebody signs, they're setting a standard where other players have to be, you know, compared to. So that $1 million for Dubinsky, that's too much. Does that translate to $1 million too much for signing, you know, Callahan or any other NHL players? So it's not just $1 million for Dubinsky. What's the difference between $4 and $5 million? There's a lot further reaching than that. But you see, you got to be able to look beyond just the what's happening here in terms of the whole picture. And some people that are in the chat room are just, you know, looking at it in a vacuum, like it affects nothing else.
Yeah, and especially, you know, the fans and, you know, who have been clamoring for him to be prudent. And you talk about that extra million, and this is something we did not bring up yet, is this Steve Eminger being rumored or being reported that he's going to be signed. And I just don't get it. For $1.5 million, supposedly.
I saw that for 2 years.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you're talking about $750 a year, you know.
Oh, it's just gonna be. Well, didn't he make more than that last year?
Yeah, he
Why
got 1.1. I think it was 1.1 last year.
For a guy his age, why would he take a pay cut to be a seventh defenseman who couldn't play on this team when Brian McCabe and Matt Gilroy did in the second half of the season? Two guys who were no longer with the team. I don't see any reason that Steve Eminger should be on this team, especially with Tim Erickson, who is, you know, is kind of early penciled in to be a defenseman. With a defenseman in the system, whether you not like him or you don't, like you with MDZ, whether with a Valentenko or a Thomas Kondratek, why Steve Eminger is a guy, to me, that really just, if a guy can play about 50 games and 40 games as a seventh defenseman, it seems like Ranger fans are a little super enamored with him. So I don't get that.
I think part of it had to do with everybody was critical when they first signed him last year, and he kind of worked his way into a serviceable defenseman that people were surprised at. And so you develop an affection for that kind of a guy. And so, you know, you look at the price tag, you look for somebody who's a little bit of a veteran presence there that you get for $750 a year, you put that all together, and it screams seventh defenseman, typical, you know, what you want. You don't want to put a Valentenko or a Kondratchek down in the seventh defense spot. You want to let that guy get some minutes to see what they're all about. So I don't have much of an issue with this move. It doesn't hurt the team in the long run, and you have a guy that can fill in on an injury situation. He's not going to be somebody that's going to necessarily hurt the club. He has sort of a feeling for Tort's system. So I don't think it's a bad move. I think that that's just a depth move, basically. You know, since you don't want to put a young player as a seventh defenseman who gets in a few games, doesn't get a whole lot of time. You know, if Eminger's been explained to him that this is your role, I don't have an issue with it being that.
I just think anything under $1 million, and, you know, we talk about, like you said, if it's $750, I got no problem with it. I mean, you know, they let go Gilroy for under $1 million. I would have liked to seen Gilroy stick around more than Eminger, to tell you the truth. I mean, I know Eminger was a pleasant surprise. I mean, let's not get carried away here, Ranger fans. I mean, we got to set the bar a little bit higher. I mean, on our Facebook page, there was a heated debate about Eminger giving you that veteran presence. You know, he's 6 months older than Dan Girardi. I mean, and a guy who hasn't played regularly his whole career. I mean, let's not value his veteran presence too much. So it's been a little bit of a controversy, but I feel better that because I've seen that Dance and Larry Brooks tweeted that they were close to sign him. So I don't know. Jim, what do you sit on this? You filed it. I don't really care that much about it. You're crazy about it category.
As far as Eminger goes,
yeah.
To me, I guess the seventh defenseman is like the last thing you do. You know, it's kind of like grabbing gum at the supermarket. You know, you just get it at the counter when you're done. But I guess if they're comfortable enough with his game, bring him back, you know, for another year, why not? I just figured they would wait until training camp to do that, to see maybe who else was out there. So that's the only reason why I'm surprised that they're doing it now. You never know what other names are going to pop up. But, you know, he was a good soldier. He performed well for the most part. I don't think you may not see as much of him this year as you did last year, because I think Eric, you know, with Erickson in there, so I don't have a big problem with it. I'm too focused on this debacle.
The debacle.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mandar, do you carry any personal malice towards Dubinsky or? Not personal malice, but do you think he really should be aware, or his the people surrounding him should be really aware of what he really is worth? Or is this just the way they do business, by asking too much and then whittling it down?
Of course, that's really what it is. I'd be very interested. See, a lot of this is just reports say. If it gets to the arbitrator tomorrow, you're going to see what the actual figures that were traded back and forth would be. That's kind of what it tells you. Because at this point, I would think that even as we speak right now, there's negotiations going on. And, you know, the bottom line is that the Rangers have two options. If the arbitrator somehow would award him a $5 million settlement, Sather can certainly walk away from it. And then Dubinsky becomes unrestricted and takes the chance that somebody would pay him anything close to that. So,
right.
There's more to the negotiation than just, you know, well, I come in high, you come in low, and we'll see what happens.
Right. And I feel that there is no team. I mean, it's hard to say nowadays with some of the contracts that were put out there, free agent signings that we saw, but Brandon Dubinsky, at this point in his career, is not a $5 million player. Just is not. And this is a guy who's a fan of the, you know, we always put that Rangers spectacle glasses on and see a guy who's always much better to us, because we think with our hearts and not with our minds, most of us. Or it does affect our judgment.
It was like, who was it said? Was it Brian Burke who said that, or was it Brian Murray? I'm not sure, but who said...
You know, Brian Murray, when you talk about the Heat League thing?
Right. He says, I can't even get them to, you know, to part with a 13-goal scorer. You know, so the rest of the league knows what he is. It's just, you know, it just... But I don't want to... Again, it's not personal, just business. Brandon, you're worth $4 million. You just take your money and test the free agent market when you can, and you'll find out that you're worth less than that. I mean, if he continues, it's, you know, I mean, so.
And unfortunately, this kind of clouds the judgment against the player, you know, where I don't think anybody dislikes Dubinsky or his style of play or anything like that. Of course, we'd all like to see him be more consistent and put up more numbers. But when you start equating value with the play that he's put out up there on the ice, you know, are you paying him for what you want him to be, or are you paying him what he's worth? I mean, we've, you know, people say, yeah, he's increased his stats every year. Well, okay, so did Brian Boyle. I mean, you don't, again, you can't look at it in the vacuum. He hasn't had the bust out year yet. He hasn't taken control. He's a nice complimentary forward. Again, he's done this two straight years, hasn't he? Started out really hot in the first, you know, month and a half of the season where he puts up good numbers. That one year where he was on that line with Voros, remember that? Where they started out, again, you know, winning seven of your first 10. And,
right.
And he's putting up monster numbers, and then just the inconsistency happens, then the disappearing, you know, happens. And I don't know what motivates Brandon Dubinsky. It's, you know, again, most players are motivated to go crazy in their contract year, and then they secure the big deal, and then maybe they go down. But I didn't see anything different in Brandon Dubinsky last year. I don't see anything different this year that's going to create a $5 million player. But I don't think he better be playing chicken with Sather. It wouldn't be surprising to me that if an arbitrator somehow, you know, gave him a ridiculous award, that Sather wouldn't walk away from it. And then where does he go? You know, and who comes out looking worse there? You'd, no doubt you'd have a bunch of Ranger fans all upset because he didn't sign one of the core players. Well, you know what? When the salary matters in rounding out your lineup, you know, you want to upset that structure for a 23-goal scorer who is what he is after 4 or 5 years in the league. That, you know, that says a little
right.
bit about him, too, as a player.
Yeah, I mean, and I think some Ranger fans would say, listen, he asked for too much, you know, and maybe that would certainly, people will say, actually would be on Sather's, say, you know, you're a nice player, but you're not, you're certainly not a star player. You know, he's not in there. I don't know. Is he integral to the New York Rangers' success going forward? I think you got to ask yourself that when you ask for $5 million. I just don't think he is. I mean, we all love the way he started off a blaze last year. We mm-hmm. all did mea culpas on, you know, we may have underrated this guy. But then that second half came, and it was, you know, Ungots. And, you know, if you want to be a Ranger, and again, you don't want to play chicken with Sather, because Sather doesn't like that. Sather is, we've seen what's happened in the past with the Nick Antropovs. You come at him with $5 million, he's like, maybe a little bit different that Doobie is a homegrown player, but also that track record from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, that's not helping his case. If you want to come on here and argue this point about Dubinsky, call up, all right? Every year his point total goes up. Big deal. What, 3-point increments? I understand he was the 60th pick overall. I'm not, but for $5 million, he's not in that range. I'm sorry. He's not making your power play better. He's not tremendous on faceoffs. He's a decent penalty killer. He's not a fantastic penalty killer.
He doesn't beat you with his skating. He's not a great shooter. What the hell am I paying? Why would we got to pay this guy $5.5 million?
God. And you're not only doing that, you're setting the bar with him to be a measuring stick against other players you sign.
Of course.
And pay him. Brian Boyle had 2 less goals than he did last year, but more against the goalie.
Yeah. Which are typically the more important goals.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like Dubinsky as a player. I really do. I love Dubinsky. I don't like him for 5 1/4. I just don't think that's a market wise thing to do. Now, you know, Sather has certainly had his issues with unrestricted free agents and the luck in that department. But when it comes to restricted, I think so far all the deals that he's done with these guys have been very fair. Absolutely. You have no problem with the 3 lesser deals that he had to get done this year. No problem with his signing Girardi and Stahl last year when they were restricted. Only now you're starting to see an issue with one player who you just can't get a deal done for. And does that speak to his character? Who knows?
Well, didn't he recently just get married, too? Or was that Callahan? I think it was Callahan.
I don't know.
Whatever the reason. At this point, if he's turning down $5 million, let him walk. Sayonara. That's the way I look at it. And we got some more people in here. Anastasia, how do you say that?
I said she was following us along on Twitter before, and
she's now in the chat room.
Get in the chat room. Anastasia Kousalis, I believe.
Welcome to the program.
And she is a part of the Facebook group and the whole bit.
Fantastic.
Yep, welcome.
Yeah, you're going to catch the last 2 minutes of the show.
She's been listening to the whole thing. She just hasn't been in the chat room.
Oh, fantastic.
Because she's been tweeting me throughout the show that, you know, agreeing with what we're talking about, disagreeing, whatever, you know, the whole bit. So,
great.
She's following along. So, it's good stuff. Welcome to everybody.
She's cool. Welcome. Thank you, Michelle.
And Sue Papagallo was here as well.
Sue Papagallo.
And Eva was here. We had the 3 women.
Yeah. Eva, again, I want to say just as a reminder, the L&B Spumoni Pizza and Spumoni Gardens in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. Was it 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock? I'll be there. Ranger fans will be there out in droves. So far, we have 11 people. But I am a party wherever I go, and I'm sure Jim and Mandel will agree.
Absolutely.
That laugh, I don't know if Mandel really agreed. But
I've been to many a party, and I can certainly agree.
Thank you so much, sir.
Play your
Elwood has joined us.
Elwood.
Yeah, for the Blues Brothers.
I wish I had Rubber Biscuit uploaded.
Bow bow bow. Hey,
hey, have a dubba, have a dubba. Hey. Where's your wet lips comic? Where is it? Where'd you put that? Oh, here it is. I got it. There we go.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
I love that. New Papagallo's
head
back.
Hits. Any head hit.
So I saw on Facebook today that the Paulie D Show may be coming back with a summer edition. Should be good.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of our goddamn show.
Man, we got 60 seconds left.
I'd like to thank Mr. Jim Schmiedeberg is my co-host, our quasi co-host for the last half hour, what it seems every show, Mr. Mandar, the man with a plan. And I'd like to thank everybody who has joined us on this hot summer night to talk Rangers hockey. I was passionate. I was ready to go. It was the quickest hour and a half in internet radio.
And I always enjoy it. And hopefully by next time we talk, the Doobie will be – well, when is that scheduled? When is Doobie and when is Callahan scheduled?
Doobie's today – I mean tomorrow, and Callie's next week.
There you go. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I love you.
There you go. There you have it. Put it in the books.
Put another one in the books.
Douchebag Howie Rose would say.
So, that's the story.
That's that.
That's that bit. Well, it doesn't look like a lot of turnout. Maybe I'll get on the boards and get somebody and go down to the pizza thing.
I'd be there if I could get there.
I know.
Yeah,
so for my Valentine.
I need a little more than 3 weeks' notice on this stuff. I know that's not your fault. It's just the way it worked out, but.
It's going to be very happy with the turnout. It's always amazing, especially so hot. But it was very good. And now I'm going to. I don't want anybody to. My wife is still in Chicago, and I'm all alone. And
where's the mystery?
I don't know. I'm going to give him a call. I want to see if he's going to come down to Brooklyn with me. He may be able to. He's never been to any events and met any of the people, so I think he would he'd enjoy it. Jim, all the best to your family.
Same here.
Same. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good night,
take
guys.
Care. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.